Morning. I wanted to give. I didn't want to give on Maseches Avodah Zarah because a lot of people are away. So God willing, next week we'll resume finishing the tiny bit that's left in the third parak and to begin the fourth parak. But I wanted to actually talk about stuff that relates to calendar. But in one week, I'm not going to talk about the calendar itself and its construction. That would be fun for another time or other special shiurim. But it takes at least a few shiurim to do the calendar. So I actually wanted to talk about Kriyas HaTorah. And I remember as a child, I mean, it's been a long time now, the year I was bar mitzvah, I had a friend whose father was the bal kriya in the shul, and my friend's bar mitzvah parsha was Parshas Matos. And I knew that he was lucky that he only had Parshas Matos. He didn't have the joint parsha Matos Maaseh. Now, it turned out that I didn't realize how unusual that was, that Matos Maaseh was separated. Because after that year, we would go something like, I may be exaggerating, 15 years before Matos Maaseh got separated again. And it struck me as kind of odd. Matos Maaseh, I don't think it's actually one of the harder Kriyas HaTorah. It's long, but it's actually not so difficult. There are things that are half its length that are actually more challenging, I think, than Matos Maaseh. But nonetheless, there is a perception that reading 244 Pesukim is a lot. And kind of wondered, how is it that, you know, other joint parshios, and I've actually sort of highlighted them on the sheet. I presented the parshios for you here, and if you look at the things that are bracketed, those are the parshios that we sometimes join. Later we're going to talk about what the rules are for each of them, when they get joined or not. But it kind of struck me, Matos Maaseh, you know, the only thing that even approaches Matos Maaseh in length is Vayakel Pekudei. Vayakel Pekudei has much better mazel for being split than Matos Maaseh does. But the question is, why exactly did that happen? I didn't understand. And so I really wanted to, that's not the only question, really prompts the question right now is a different one, which was asked by Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon, which is also about Matos Maaseh, but a different split parsha. Not this coming Shabbos, 2 weeks from yesterday, we're going to read Parshas Nitzavim Vayelech. Nitzavim Vayelech is not exactly the most daunting double parsha that there is. When you add 40 and 30, you get 70 psukim, which is still, you know, about two-thirds the length of the average parsha. And to make matters crazier, I think it was last year and the year before and probably next year, Nitzavim and Vayelech are split. You know, so the kids, of course, know is who's that lucky kid who gets Vayelech as his bar mitzvah parsha. Is really, really lucky. And Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon asked the question, like, why is it that we have to split Nitzavim Vayelech and leave Matos Maaseh joined? That seems a little bit crazy. And Chazal certainly were concerned a little bit about people's time in shul. I know sometimes it feels like Shabbos Shachris, the rabbi or the gabbayim, they don't care, you know, it's forever. You got 3 hours, there's no problem. Spoken as someone who comes from a hashkafah, I mean, that has to be out by 9 o'clock and starts at 7, so there's no Jehering Valyavar, you're out. But Chazal certainly were concerned about that issue. The Gemara in Megillah, in the third perek, talks about the numbers of aliyos that we have on a given day. So our practice is that we have 5 aliyos on Yom Tov, we have 6 aliyos on Yom Kippur and 7 aliyos on Shabbos, which really reflects an ascending level of Kedusha, of sanctity. Because Shabbos, everybody says Yom Kippur is the holiest day in the Jewish calendar. That's not correct. Shabbos is the holiest day in the Jewish calendar. You do malach on Yom Kippur, you get kares, heavenly death penalty. You do malach on Shabbos, you get the death penalty in Beis Din. Shabbos is the holiest day in the Jewish calendar. It comes many times. But there is another position that's recorded in the Gemara that actually you read 5 aliyos on Yom Tov, 6 aliyos on Shabbos, 7 aliyos on Yom Kippur. Why? So the Gemara says, because on Yom Tov, everybody is busy getting late. They're late to shul because they're busy preparing their food, because you're allowed to prepare food on Yom Tov. And everybody wants to get out of home quickly because they want to eat the food. So we only have 5 aliyos. Shabbos, nobody's preparing food on Shabbos morning because you can't do malach on Shabbos to prepare food. So everybody can get to shul on time, but they want to go home to eat. So you can add one more aliyah. And Yom Kippur, where you're not preparing for Yom Kippur, and you're not getting it, and there's no way you're going not to eat. So in that case, you can have 7 aliyahs. So certainly, even though we don't have to follow position, there is a sense of people's time mattering. That's why during the week, you know, we read 3 aliyahs on Monday, Thursday, and it doesn't matter if you have a bris, a yard site, and somebody getting married. You can't add on aliyahs. You can't add, Shabbos, you know, alpi din ha-gemara, you can have 50 aliyos if you want. Might make people antsy, but you can do that. During the week, you're not allowed to add on to the three aliyos. Ein mosif an aleihem, because people's time does matter. So it is a little bit, you know, we have to pay the piper at some point. In other words, you got to read, we read the entire Torah, which we'll talk about in a moment. But nonetheless, it is kind of odd that we can't be bothered to split matas masay, but we'll split nitzavim vayelech. So some guy gets lucky and reads 40 psukim, somebody gets lucky and reads 30 psukim, and some guy gets unlucky and he reads 244 psukim. So I wanted to really talk about how the Kriyas HaTorah is laid out in the calendar, then it all sort of makes sense, in case you were wondering, particularly about nitzavim vayelech. Now, the first question is, where do our parshios come from? In fact, it's a question of whether you want to call it a parsha or a sedra. It's a little bit, I think sedra is really a Yiddish term, but it's a useful term because parsha has two meanings. Parsha can be the weekly parsha, what we read, and a parsha also refers to, in the Torah itself, when you have paragraph breaks, psuchos and stumos, depending on whether it's a bigger gap, starts on the next line, or it's just a minimum number, a gap. So those are also called parshios, parsha psucha, parsha stuma. So it's easier to disambiguate, we'll use the term sedra. The question is, where in fact do our sedras come from? So the first observation that I should make is that we have a certain set of sedras, but that was not always the case. The Gemara in Megillah, in the Bavli, a couple of places, I think, makes reference to the fact that in Marava, in Eretz Yisrael, in the West, they would finish the Torah every 3 years. Now, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, it actually wasn't every 3 years, it was every 3.5 years. How do we know that? So a dear colleague and mentor of mine, Professor Moshe Bernstein, I don't think this is his observation, but he has mentioned this to me, is that scholars have found in the Geniza celebratory poems, piyutim, for Simchas Torah at two times of the year. One, Sukkot time, the way we have it, and also Pesach time. In other words, there are piyutim linked to completion of the Torah, to Simchas Torah, around Pesach, which means that it was actually a 3.5-year cycle, so they finished it twice every 7 years, which meant one cycle, Simchas Torah, was Sukkot time, and one cycle, Simchas Torah, was Pesach time. So, but the point is, in Eretz Yisrael, they had a longer Kriya cycle than they did in Bavel. Eventually, the Bavel practice became the one that was accepted. So we know, it's very clear what our 54 sedras are, and I've listed them for you here, including the number of verses in each sedra. Just for those who are curious, lengths can sometimes be deceiving. Not all psukim were created equal, but on average, they tend to average out, except for one little point, that Sefer Dvarim, the average pasuk, is probably about 20% longer than elsewhere in the Torah. Perhaps that's not surprising. It was Moshe Rabbeinu's speech. Sefer Dvarim was, in some respect, written by Moshe Rabbeinu as opposed to the Ribbono Shel'olam. It's not surprising that there is that something like that should show up. So it's actually, you know, I don't remember what Ben's bar mitzvah parasha was, but if somebody, you know, got Parsha Shoftim, you know, in Dvarim and said, I'm lucky 97 psukim, that, you know, poor guy who got, you know, 110 psukim, I don't know, in Vayik or 111 psukim, it's like, no, your 97 psukim are actually more like closer to 120 psukim in terms of length. If you just count lines in the Sefer Torah or paid columns in the Sefer Torah, that's the way it is. But anyway, our sedra breaks are very well known. I've always known, I learned something in the last couple of days I didn't realize, I've always known that the first place that I've seen them all listed was in the Rambam. The Rambam in the Mishneh Torah lists all the sedras. Now the fact that the Rambam lists the sedras, that doesn't mean the Rambam, it's certainly not the case, the Rambam himself did not create the sedras, they were there before the Rambam. There are always sort of two questions to ask about this kind of a phenomenon. Number one, when do we first have evidence to it? But number two, when did it actually originate? And in this particular case, the first full, although I may not be correct, the first full evidence that we have is in, that I knew was in the Rambam. It's actually a little earlier. The Rambam got his sedra breaks probably from the Aleppo Codex, from the Keter Ramtzova. Having taught Intro to Bible for 15 years now, and always looked at pieces of codices, although I rarely look at, codex is just a, in the pre-printed book era, codex was a Torah or Tanakh written on parchment but bound like a book rather than a scroll. It's much easier to get access to where you want to get to. And most codices also started with the introduction of vowels and things like that, vowels and tropon symbols, written symbols, as opposed to just what was in a Sefer Torah. So in the Aleppo Codex already, the sedra breaks are actually indicated. I had never noticed them, I never looked carefully, but you look and you will actually see some very fancy ornamentation indicating that there's a new parsha, a new sedra here. And the Rambam probably derived his list of sedras from the Aleppo Codex. So at least goes back before the Rambam a couple of hundred years. It is also clear, if you look at some of the Gemaras in Meseches Megillah, the Gemara has a very interesting discussion that we're not going to talk about the issue itself, but we'll see at the end of the sources. Before Pesach, starting before Purim, in fact, we read four special parshios, right? Shkalim, Zachor, Para, and Hachodesh, right? That's not the parsha. There was one opinion in the Gemara that that was substituted for the parsha, but we don't substitute the parsha. We just read it as the Maftir. We tack on the Shkalim, Zachor, Para, and Hachodesh. There is a machlokas. What is Parsha Shkalim? So we all assume Parsha Shkalim is the parsha of the Machatzis HaShekel found in Parshas Kisisa, where they're told to each give a half a shekel. That was Shmuel's opinion. Rav's opinion is that the parsha of Shkalim is actually not the Machatzis HaShekel. It's a parsha that's those who say Karban say every day. It's Tzavis B'nei Yisrael. It's the section that deals with the daily sacrifice, the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Merabayim. The reason why Rav holds that way is because the main purpose of the Shmachtzis HaShekel was to bring the Karbanos of the Tzibur, and the quintessential public Karban were the daily sacrifices, the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Merabayim. So in this Gemara wants to try to prove who's right, Rav or Shmuel. Is it Kisisa, the way we do it like Shmuel, or is it the Parsha of the Tamid like Rav? And the Gemara starts to quote Brises that talk about what happens when you're reading the Torah Sedra and it comes out the same week that you read that Sedra, you also have to read Parsha Shkalim. Let's say, it doesn't happen in our calendar, actually, the way our things fall out. Let's say, what were to happen if Parsha Shkalim were to come out the week of Kisisa? It never happens. It's either too, in a regular year, Kisisa is too late, and in a leap year, Kisisa is too early. So I don't think it ever happens. But let's say Shkalim came out in, I would say, Tetzaveh or Kisisa, where Shkalim that we read is right at the beginning of Kisisa. So you could wind up finishing Parshas Tetzaveh, and the next thing that you would read would just be the next thing in the Torah. And all sorts of issues of confusion, not wanting to give people a misleading impression. The fact that the Gemara talks about, in that context, it mentions several of our Parshios. The Gemara is using that to prove chronologically what time, we know when Shkalim is what time of year. We know it's right before Rosh Chodesh, the last Adar. So the Gemara is trying to prove chronologically what Parsha Shkalim, because we don't know what it is. Rav and Shmuel argue, how is it possible that Parsha Shkalim could come out next to Kisisa? If you're talking about a section that you read from Parshas Pinchas, we read Parshas Pinchas in the summer. There's no way that you could be reading Parshas Pinchas around the time that we would be reading Shkalim. So if the Gemara says that Shkalim could be read approximately the same time as you're also reading the regular parsha that contains it, it would seem it has to be in Parshas Kisisa. So in that discussion, what emerges from the Gemara is at least several instances of parshios that actually match our sedras, our parshios. But that doesn't mean everything does. I haven't been able to find them. I know there are other traditions that float around. I have never found any evidence of this, but I always recall hearing Truma Tetzaveh in some tradition somewhere was labeled as a possible joint parsha. And I do know, I'm pretty sure, that Parshas Mishpatim has, in some traditions, a split in the middle. There's Parshas Mishpatim, and then there's Parshas Vim Kesef Talveh Asami, which is about halfway through the parsha. So I don't know. It's not in the Rambam. It's not in any traditions. It's not in the Shulchan Aruch. There might have been some slight alternatives that floated around, but certainly the 54 parshios, as we have them, are already described by the Rambam. We don't have the entire Aleppo Codex. Most of the Chumash is missing, actually. It's a famous story in its own right. But the Rambam certainly got them from Aleppo, as he got everything else, what he describes that writing Sefer Torah. I haven't bothered to check Aleppo's closest sibling, the Leningrad Codex, which we have completely. I have a facsimile at home. I looked at a couple of things in the Parshia Smash, but I didn't check all 54, but I assume that they do. I assume that those are pretty standard. So bottom line is, our 54 parshios may very well go back to the time of the Gemara, already the cycle in Babel, the annual cycle. We can't prove that with certainty, but certainly the Balei Masora, those who created the Aleppo Codex, the Leningrad Codex, those families of Masoretes who sort of gave us our Tanakhs as we have them, so they, by their time, certainly the Sedras were already set, and that's what I've listed here in front of us. Now, if we are going to have Simchas Torah every year on Sukkot, and we're going to read the Torah once, so we sort of have the first sort of major point which tells us how we're going to have to lay out our calendar. In other words, we lay in Vezos HaBracha on Simchas Torah. And in our calendar, that never actually is on Shabbos. So the answer to the trivia question of what parsha do we never read on Shabbos, the Torah, the answer is Vizos HaBracha. In Eretz Yisrael, they actually would. Because in Eretz Yisrael, remember, they have that crazy day when Sukkot comes out on Shabbos. Then on the eighth day of the Yom Tov, you have Yizkor and Geshem and Koheles and Hakafos, and I don't know if I'm missing anything else. It's kind of crazy doing Yizkor and Hakafos on the same day. But in Chutz La'aretz, because our Simchas Torah is Yom Tov Sheni, Sukkot cannot come out on a Sunday, and therefore Simchas Torah can never come out. I'm sorry, Sukkot cannot come out on a Friday, and therefore Simchas Torah can never come out on a Shabbos. So in Chutz La'aretz, Vizos HaBracha is never read on Shabbos, but it is read on Simchas Torah. So that is sort of the anchor point around which everything ultimately has to revolve. We're going to start after Simchas Torah with Bereishis, presumably. And then by the next Simchas Torah, we have to be done. Now, obviously, one of the challenges, let's do a little basic arithmetic. There are 54 parshias. Leave out Vizos HaBracha, we're down to 53. How many weeks are there in the Hebrew calendar, in the year that follows the Hebrew calendar? So here, it kind of depends. If you turn over the sheet for a moment, I'm not going to explain what the Hebrew is around that. I will hopefully explain that later, but I'm just laying out the arithmetical possibilities. If you look on the Roman numeral 3, you see a bunch of numbers. Basic rule goes like this. The Hebrew calendar in a non-leap year has 12 months. And the normal sequence of months is 30-29, 30-29, 30-29, because the average lunar period is 29 and a half days and 793 halakim. It's about, I don't know, that 40 minutes in that neighborhood, 30, 40 minutes, something like that. And therefore, as a general rule, we alternate months. However, sometimes, for whatever reason, we need to adjust slightly. So, in the normal sequence, Tishrei is 30, and Mar Cheshvan is 29, and Kislev is 30. But, if we need an extra day, we make Mar Cheshvan 30. If we need to remove a day, we make Kislev 29. In case, I assume this is probably obvious to everybody, but since most of my students, when I've polled, actually don't know the answer to this question, when is Rosh Chodesh 2 days, and when is Rosh Chodesh 1 day? Ben, I'm going to put you on the spot if that's okay. Do you know? How do you know whether Rosh Chodesh is going to, other than looking at the calendar, whether it's going to be 2 days or 1 day? Don't feel bad, because I will not ask any of the adults in the room, but I'm pretty sure that I'm going to get mostly blank stares also. The answer is the following. When the previous month is 30 days, the 30th day, since in theory, once upon a time, if Beis Din was sitting, they could have made it Rosh Chodesh, the 30th day is Rosh Chodesh, and then the first day of the next month is Rosh Chodesh. So when you have a 30-day month, at the end of the month, the next month, is a 2-day Rosh Chodesh. If you only have a 29-day month, and the day 30 is Rosh Chodesh, is the first day of the next month, then you only have 1-day Rosh Chodesh. That's the simple rule. In other words, a 30-day month, the next month has 2 days Rosh Chodesh, 30 and day 1. If 29-day month, the next month has 1 day Rosh Chodesh. Very, very simple. So that's why Hanukkah sometimes has 2 days Rosh Chodesh in it, and sometimes only 1 day. Because if we had to remove a day from Kislev, and Kislev only becomes 29 days, then there's only going to be 1 day Rosh Chodesh, which will be the 6th day of Hanukkah. If it's a regular year where Kislev has 30 days, then Hanukkah will end 1 day earlier in Teves, but we're going to have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, which will be the 30th of Kislev, which is the 6th day of Hanukkah, and the 1st day of Teves, which is the 7th day of Hanukkah. So that's how the calendar is laid out. Now, if you left the months Kisidron in the normal order, 30-29, 30-29, 30-29, the Hebrew calendar is 354 days long. If you have to add a day, it's 355. If you have to take away a day, it's 353. It's never more or less than that. A leap year, we insert an Adar. The last Adar, which is the last month of the year, is always 29. They formulate the rule, Adar HaSamoch LeNisan is always chaser. It always has only 29 days. We insert Adar Rishon, which is 30 days and before. So you get, instead of 354 plus or minus 1, you get 384 plus or minus 1.
What's the plus or minus
1? In other words, if we decided to make Mar Cheshvan, give it an extra day, then we're going to be 355 or 385. If we decided instead not to add an extra day, but to take away a day from Kislev, it'll be 353 or 383. The reason we do that is because we don't want Rosh Hashanah, I don't want to say more than this because I could give the calendar sheer now for this, but the basic rule of the calendar, they teach kids the mnemonic, it's in the Shulchan Aruch actually, Lo Adu Rosh Velo Badu Pesach. Now, I forget the second half. We don't care when Pesach is. It's just that Pesach and Rosh Hashanah are always definitionally 2 days apart. If you look at, there's no variation in the months at all between Nisan And Tishrei. And therefore, if Pesach came out on Beis Dalet or Vav, Rosh Hashanah would be on Dalet, Vav, or Aleph. And we don't want Rosh Hashanah to be on Dalet, Vav, or Aleph. Lo Adu, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. We actually don't care when Rosh Hashanah is. But we do care where Yom Kippur is. We don't want Yom Kippur to be on Friday or Sunday because we don't want 2 days of full-fledged malacha, 2 days prohibited in a row. The reason why the Gemara didn't want it, one of the reasons offered is because if a person died, you can bury a mace when you didn't have refrigeration. They would bury a mace on the first day of Yom Tov by having non-Jews do it. On the second day of Yom Tov Sheni, the Jews who were necessary in order to do the burial could do all the malachas to bury the mace because it was a bizarre mace. The body would decompose. We don't generally do that anymore for many reasons, one of which we have refrigeration. But Yom Kippur, there's no permission to bury a mace, even asking an non-Jew, on either Yom Kippur or on Shabbos. So they didn't want 2 days of Shabbos in a row where a mace could theoretically be rotting. So therefore they struggled, and our calendar's fixed. We never have Yom Kippur on Friday or Yom Kippur on Sunday. Now, if you just count backwards, Yom Kippur is always 2 days later in the week than Rosh Hashanah. So if Yom Kippur were to come out on Sunday, it meant Rosh Hashanah was on Friday. If Yom Kippur came out on Friday, it meant Rosh Hashanah was on Wednesday. So that's why we never want Rosh Hashanah on Wednesday or Friday. And the reason why we don't want Rosh Hashanah on a Sunday is because if Rosh Hashanah came out on Sunday, Hoshana Rabbah would come out on Shabbos, and we wouldn't be able to do the Arava on Shabbos. And it's very important that we do Hoshana Rabbah with the Aravos, because we want to teach the Tzedukim that we believe in Torah Shabbat Peh also, and we only know of the Mitzvah Aravah through Torah Shabbat Peh. So those are the three things that drive. We don't care when Rosh Hashanah is, but Rosh Hashanah, we don't allow it to fall out on Adu, because then either Yom Kippur will be next to Shabbos, before or after, or Hoshana Rabbah will be on Shabbos. Okay, once Rosh Hashanah can't be Adu, counting back, Pesach would have come out on an even day of the week. That's why Pesach is always on an odd day of the week. Now, so, coming back to our question of how many weeks do we have in the year, so we can do the math here. If it's a 354-day year, you have 50 or 51 Shabbosos, right? 50 times 7 is 350, and depending on when the year started, you can get 50 or 51 weeks. Now, so that's clearly not enough in order to get the 53 parshios in. Now, but it's worse. Why? Because we do not read the Sedra. We do read the Sedra, as I mentioned before, on Zohar and Shkalim and Parah and Achodesh. There is an opinion in the Gemara that you don't read the regular Sedra. We do. But on Yom Tov, we do not. So you know the following with certitude. You know that there's going to be 1 day of Sukkot you're going to lose. It's 8 days in Chutz Laaretz, or even 7 days in Israel. You know for sure you're going to lose 1 day of Yom Tov to Sukkot, and you're going to lose 1 day for sure to Pesach. And then you might lose, you can't lose more than one other Shabbos. If you work through all the permutations of the calendar, maximum three, sometimes only two. Okay, that's the bottom line. In a year like this, for example, we lose on Pesach comes out on a Shabbos this coming year. So we're going to lose two for Pesach in that case. Only Chutz Laaretz, though. By the way, in Eretz Yisrael, we have to play catch-up on a parasha. We might get to that later. But they'll lose two for Pesach. But that means Rosh Hashanah will be on a Monday, Tuesday, because it's always 2 days later in the week than Pesach, which was on Shabbos next year. So Rosh Hashanah is on Monday, Tuesday. Yom Kippur is on a Wednesday. And Sukkot will follow the same schedule. So we'll lose 2 days to Pesach and 1 day to Sukkot. And Shavuos is always a day after Pesach, which will make it, Sunday, Monday. So that's not going to lose either. So the following year, we're going to lose three Shabbosos to Yom Tov. We should lose three Sedras. Sometimes we only lose two. So in a regular year, even if we got 51 Shabboses in the calendar year, we lose at least two. We're down to 49. So now we got 53 parshios that we have to get in. Okay, and we might have only had 50 parshios to start with, so we're down to we could be as low as, I think, 48 might be the lowest number. 48 might be the lowest number of Shabboses that you're going to get to lead a Sedra, to read a Sedra. And if that's the case, what's going to happen is, to get to 53, you're going to have to double up five. Okay? You're going to have to double up five parshios in order to accomplish that. So that's basically, in broader terms, just doing arithmetic, that's the situation we face. Now, a leap year, we have a little more breathing room. In a leap year, we get an extra month in, which means we're getting at least four Shabbos is more. You could get a fifth one in theory. That means you can't get more, though. It's 385 divides perfectly by 7, so you could get 55 weeks in. Okay, you have 55 weeks. You might only lose two to Shabbos, as it's possible, depending on how things fell out. And then, if that's the case, you will wind up having a total of 53 weeks and 53 sedres. I think you can get a situation like that. It might be you always fall to 52 in chutzlaretz, but bottom line is you can see why in a leap year you basically shouldn't have to do that much, if any, doubling up, right? If you only have 54 weeks in a leap year and you lost three, so you could, if that could happen, I'm not sure it could, but you lost two, you're down to 52 weeks, you're going to have to double something up, one thing up. That Porsche Lamazel happens to be Matas Masek. Okay, but that's basically, that's the arithmetical aspect. Okay. But, and if that were the case, this would just be, you know, an accountant's problem. However, there's another consideration involved. Let's take a look first. There are a couple of sources that I want to read. First, just the Rambam on Roman numeral 2. The Rambam says, the first source, HaMinag HaPoshut B'chol Yisrael Shemashlimin Es HaTorah B'Shana Echas. The common practice in amongst the Jewish people is to complete the reading of the Torah, the entire cycle, in 1 year. Maschilin b'Shabbos she'achar Chag Hasukos v'korin b'Seder Breishis. The first Shabbos after Sukkos, we read Breishis. B'Shnia Eile Toldos. He calls Noach. We call it Noach. He calls it Eile Toldos, which are the first two words. Eile Toldos Noach. B'Shlishis v'Yomer Shem Al Avram Lech Lecha. V'korin v'Holchin Al Haseder Hazeh Ad Shegomrin Es Atag Torah b'Chag Hasukos. And you follow that schedule until you finish the Torah when it comes to Sukkos. V'Yesh Rishemash Mes Atorah B'Shalosh Shanim. There are those who complete the Torah every 3 years, but ve'eino minhag pashut. It's not a widespread practice. Okay, so it's very interesting. There is a triennial cycle today also. I have to say this, I'm trying not to smile too much, but the Reform and maybe Conservative movement at some point, I don't know if all their synagogues have adopted the practice of reading trying the triennial cycle, except for they don't read the Torah consecutively. This year they read the first third of Parshas Bereishis, then the next week first third of Parshas Noach, and next year they read the second third of the Parsha. That's because all the kids go to school and learn Parshas HaShavua, so it would be kind of crazy if your kids are learning Parshas Bereishis and you're reading somewhere, you're starting Parshas B'Shalach as part of the new year. But anyway, but the triennial cycle, certainly in the Orthodox community, to the best of my knowledge, does not exist anymore. I don't know if it existed at all in the time of the Rambam. Certainly it is not, doesn't exist anymore today. Okay, now I turn to a Gemara Megillah, which is provided with some important information. I'm not going to read the small print I put there, but I put it there in case you're really curious, and I'll tell you what it says. Next week, I don't know who's... I know I'm laning in my shul next week. I don't know who's laning here, but you will experience the longest aliyah outside of Matos Masei, outside of a joint parsha, will be next week. Why? Because you're reading Parshas Kisava, which contains the Tochacha, the curses. And the previous Gemara says that you're not allowed to interrupt in the middle of the curses. You don't make a bracha in the middle. For whatever reason, the Gemara gives a couple possible reasons. Which means somebody's going to start, they could have made it a little shorter, but somebody's going to start about Pasuk Vav in the middle of the brachos, and they're going to read to the end of this chapter, which has 69 verses in it. Which means, I think it's 64 verses they're going to read. Because you're not mafsikin. Now, the Gemara does say that there's a difference between Vayikra's curses versus Dvarim's curses. And by Yikram, Parshas Bechukosai, you also have a lengthy curses, not as long as this coming week's Parsha. The reason for that, by the way, has been pointed out to me also by Professor Bernstein, which is a brilliant insight, is that the Jews were given the curses as a warning. They were given the curses at the end of Sefer Vayikra because they were about to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael, because the story of the spies hadn't happened yet. Then the spies came along, and they got exiled 40 years in the desert. It comes the end of 40 years, Moshe Rabbeinu says it's time to do a little review, and therefore he reiterates these curses before they enter the land. The Gemara says the ones in Vayikra are much worse, on certain ways they're worse, and those you're not allowed to interrupt in between. In Dvarim, if you want, you can. Our practice, by the way, is not to. Now, also, some of you may notice, what does the Baal Kriya do during the curses? He lowers it, he mumbles, he does it quickly, and so on. So the Gemara here tells a story about a particular Talmud who got up to read, a Levi Barbuti, and he was like stumbling through it, and it was Sefer Dvarim. And Rav Huna said to him, come on, this only applies to Vayikra's curses, not to Dvarim's curses. But you see already, there was some type of a practice at that time, almost 2,000 years ago, of reading it slightly, in some type of a different way. I assume Megamge meant he was kind of rushing through it. So Bali Kriya tend to read it faster, they lower their key, they read it more quietly, and so on. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, now to the part that's actually important, relevant to us. The fourth line, or third full line from the end. I'm sorry, the end of the previous line. Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ezra tikein lohem li Yisrael, sheyukorim klalos shebetoras kohanim kodem atzeres, v'shebemishne Torah kodem Rosh Hashanah. Ezra instituted, this is assuming the annual cycle, not a triennial cycle, that we should read the curses in Vayikra before Atzeres, before Shavuos, and the curses in Dvarim before Rosh Hashanah. Why? My time. Amra Abaya ve'item Reish Lakish k'dei she'tichle Hashana ve'kilaloseha. So that the year should end with its curses. We have an expression, Teichel Shana ve'kilaloseha, Tochel Shana u'birchoseha. Let the previous year end with its curses, finish out all the bad stuff, and let the new year begin with good things. So the Gemara says, one second, B'shlama shebe'mishne Torah, Ika k'dei she'tichle Hashana ve'kilaloseha. Yeah, next week, we know Rosh Hashanah is coming, not too long, let's get the curses in. So the Gemara says, "In Atzeres Nami Rosh Hashanah, the town of Atzeres Al Peres Ha'ilon." By Shavuos, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says that we're judged four times a year: on Pesach on the grain, on Shavuos on the fruits, on Sukkot on the water, and Rosh Hashanah everybody, all men are judged, all people are judged, men and women. Okay, so we have the first marker right now, which is that Kisavo has to be read before Rosh Hashanah, and B'chukosai has to be read before Shavuos, which does mean then, and the Gemara doesn't use the terms Kisavo and B'chukosai, but it refers to the at least certain part of that parsha. So that's our first sort of boundary markers, and those are the only ones, excuse me, that the Gemara lays down. Everything else would be flexible. We do have certain other things that we are also machbid on, what we read before Pesach and what we read before Tisha B'Av, but the Gemara doesn't mention those. Now, there's only one minor catch, which is it really true that we read Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah and B'chukosai before Shavuos? So the answer is never. We never read Kisavo the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, and we never read B'chukosai the Shabbos before Shavuos. Mm-hmm. However, we always read Nitzavim the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. Nitzavim is the parsha after Kisavo, and we always read, we either read Bamidbar or very rarely Naso before Shavuos. Most years it's Bamidbar, meaning there's a 1 week buffer, and then, but there's, we'll talk about later, occasionally we actually have Naso in there. Now, this question came to the fore when it comes to Tosos, and there's an end part of Tosos here in a little font again also, which is not relevant to our topic, but it's relevant to the Gabbaim, where Tosos quotes a medrash that when you read the Sedra, you have to prepare three times during the week. Okay, it's a Yilam de Medrash Yilam Deinu, just so you know, for any of the Bali Kliya, no matter how well you know it, you have to read it three times. Tosas quotes the following, Klalos, the bottom source on the page, Klalos Shebetoros Kohanim, Kodem Atzeres Shem Mishneh Torah Kodem Rosh Hashanah. Sha'alu B'Beis HaNidrish, B'Beis HaMedrash Shal Rabbeinu Nissim. Rabbeinu Nissim goes, they ask the following question in the B'Beis HaMedrash. Lama Mechalkim Parshas Nitzavim Vayelech L'Shnayim, K'sheyesh B'Beis Shabbosos B'Bein Rosh Hashanah L'Sukkos, B'lo Yom HaKippurim. So let me explain what is behind this question. I told you that there are seven double parshios in the Torah, and they're marked on top. I'm now going to give you sort of the first step of understanding when the parshios are joined and split. Nitzavim Vayelech is the simplest one. There's a very simple rule for whether we join or split Nitzavim Vayelech. The Shulchan Aruch, which I quote on the back side of the sheet, gives the rule. The way I was taught the rule by Rabbi Dulitz is it's Pasbag HaMelech. It's an expression from Sefer Daniel, Pasbag. When Rosh Hashanah comes out on Monday or Tuesday, Bag, Beis Gimel, Nitzavim Vayelech crumbles like bread. That's a very cute mnemonic. What's really behind that? Rosh Hashanah can come out in four different days of the week. It can't come out Aleph, Dalet, Vav, so it can come out Bag Haz, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Shabbos. If you just do the arithmetic, when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Monday or Tuesday, there are two regular Shabboses outside of Yom Kippur between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, meaning there are two Shabboses we have to read a Parsha. In that case, we read Vayela, and Nitzavim is always read the week before Rosh Hashanah. So if we have two more Shabbosos before Sukkot, we split Nitzavim Vayelech, we read Nitzavim as always the week before Rosh Hashanah. Shabbos Shuvah in between is Parshas Vayelech, and then between Yom, we have one Shabbos, then between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and we read Hazinu then. If that's if it's Beis or Gimel. If you just do the arithmetic, if Rosh Hashanah comes out on Thursday or Shabbos, like it does this year on Thursday, there is only one regular Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, which is going to be Shabbos Shuvah, because there's always there are 7 days of besides Rosh Hashanah and Kippur in the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. There's always one Shabbos of Shabbos Shuvah. There's no Shabbos after Yom Kippur until Sukkot, so therefore we read Ha'azinu for Shabbos Shuvah this year, and we put Vayelech with Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah. So the rule is, if Rosh Hashanah comes out on Monday or Tuesday, then the sequence from the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah until Sukkot is Nitzavim, Vayelech, Ha'azinu. If, however, Rosh Hashanah comes out on Thursday or Shabbos, where there's only two, we read Nitzavim Vayelech, Ha'azinu, and Shabbos Shuvah, and done. So that's a simple rule, never violated, very, very clear. It has nothing to do with the leap year, non-leap year, how many Shabbos we got, totally unrelated. Because Nitzavim must be read before Rosh Hashanah, period. But I think I spoke about this in the one Shabbos Shuvah drasha that I gave. I'll pidrush why that is. But let's take a look now what was said in the Beis Medrash Rabbein and Nissim Gon. So that's the question. Why split up Parshas Nitzavim Vayelech, when you have two Shabboses between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, so you can put Vayelech on Shabbos Shuvah and Hazinu in between, why don't you stick Nitzavim Vayelech in between Shabbos Shuvah, Hazinu afterwards, and put Kisavo before? Ah, but you're missing a Shabbos, missing a Parsha. Unpack Natos Maseh. That's simple. Everybody's happy. So Ein Mechalkin Matos Maseh Sharuchos Yoser. Veheshiv, he explains. Lefi Sheba'atem Nitzavim Yesh Klalo Shekilal Yisrael V'rotzeh L'saimam Kodem Rosh Hashanah. Rabbeinu Nissim said that if you look, Nitzavim has some pretty nasty klalos. I spoke about this in the drasha. It was a couple years ago. And therefore, we want to get those in before Rosh Hashanah too. And that's why we want to make sure, no matter what, we get Nitzavim in also before. Not just Kisavo, but Nitzavim. Satosa says the following. Vikasha. The Gemara just comments how Moshe Rabbeinu was much nastier than God in his curses. And Moshe Rabbeinu got the entire Aleph Beis in his curses because he started with the letter Vav and he ended with the letter Hey, which he went through 22 letters cycling around. Whereas in God's curses, he started with Aleph and ended with Beis or something like that. It's a much shorter thing. What's clear from that Agadah is that the way the Gemara marked the beginning of the end of the curses was the end of the curses in Kisavo, the Ein Koneh, that ends on a hey. So that's what Tosa says. It's clear, if you look on the fourth line from the bottom of the page, Ad Tishma'u Va'ad Ein Koneh. Mashma Behedya Sha'ad Ein Koneh Havamina Klolos V'lo Yoser. It's clear that the Gemara considers the Klolos Sheba Mishnah Torah in Dvarim ends at the end of chapter 28 in our breakdown, which is still in Parshas Kisavo. That's number one. V'od, kasha lefi svaraso, amayin koren hazinu kodem Rosh Hashanah. Shrei gam sham yesh klalos, mezeira ova luchumei reshe. You have lots of bad stuff also in Hazinu. The Shir of Hazinu is about what happens. It's the template of Jewish history. When we sin and God punishes us and pretty nasty things. So why don't we want to get Hazinu in before Rosh Hashanah also? So that's not our... Now the Tosa says, the klalos and Toras Kohanim that we have to get in before Rosh Hashanah, that's only in Kisavo. Nitzavim is not. So Tosa says, answers, L'kach nirali, in the middle of the third line from the bottom of the page, L'kach nirali atam, sh'anu mechalkin osan, l'fi sh'anu rotzim l'hafsik v'likro Shabbos achas kodem Rosh Hashanah, v'parsha sh'alotei midaberes b'klalos klal. In other words, you want to get the klalos done, but it doesn't have to be the last thing you do right before Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, k'tshalo l'hasmicha klalos l'Rosh Hashanah. You don't want the klalos, literally, you walk into Rosh Hashanah, you know, right after the klalos. So we have a buffer week. And he says, "Umitam ze anu korim b'midbar Sinai, parshas b'midbar, kidei shelo l'akodem atzeres, kidei shelo l'hasmach haklalos shebechukos el atzeres." We do the same thing in Vayikra. We don't read Bechukos the week before Shavuos. We put a buffer in. In fact, as it turns out, sometimes we have a second week. That's what Tosa says. Based upon what I commented in what I said in the Shabbos Shuvah drasha a couple of years ago, I think this Tosas might be right, but there's a very good reason why you want to get Nitzavim in before Rosh Hashanah. And the reason for that is because if you look at the klalos in Kisavo, there's no end. When you look at the klalos in Vayikra Mechukosai, the klalos end happily. V'zacharti lahem bris rishonim. The Balkriya goes up at the end because things really come out nicely. The last pasuk that the Balkriya is going to go up next week is not redemption. It's just Eile Divrei HaBris. These are the words of the covenant. Right? Where does the redemption from Parshas Kisavo, when is the tshuva, if you want to call it, the return? It's in Parshas Nitzavim. After the Klalos of Nitzavim, then there's the restoration. And that's why even if Bamidbar doesn't really have to be before Shavuos, Nitzavim really should be before Rosh Hashanah because it's the restoration of Kisavah. And I spoke about, that was just a little point, but that's what I think is why Nitzavim has to be before. But either way, what emerges from this entire discussion now, we know why and when Nitzavim Bayelach is split. And we know that we have to read a Kisavo before or shortly before Rosh Hashanah, and we have to read Bechukosai before or shortly before Shavuos. Now, another piece of information, which I'll get out of the way. Chukas Balak. Chukas Balak is joined, it has nothing to do with a leap year. Chukas Balak, to the best of my knowledge, is never joined in the land of Israel. It is joined only in Chutz Laretz and under the following condition. When Shavuos comes out on a Friday, in Eretz Yisrael, Shavuos is only one day. So they have Shavuos on Friday, and then they read whatever Sedra it is on Shabbos. In Chutz Laretz, we have 2 days of Shavuos, so we don't read a parsha on Shabbos. And we have to catch up to Eretz Yisrael, and we do that with Chukas Balak. That's what we do. Now, what's the rush to catch up? So the truth is, when you look after this time period, there are no really short parshiyos to join. There aren't any great choices. The good short parshiyos to join we've done already in Vayikra, but that comes before Shavuos, right? And we're not going to join them because we're trying to have the Chukosai a week plus a buffer before Shavuos, so that we don't want to contract earlier. So what we do is we join Chukas Balak. Very, very, very straightforward. The other 5 parshios, double parshios, are in fact tied to the leap year. Meaning, what I mean by the leap year is the number of Shabbos we have in that particular year. It happens to be that the way we do things is first come, first served. Which means, if we get one extra week in a year, the first thing we split is Vayakel Pekudei. If we get 2, we move on to Tazria Metzora, 3 Achrei Mos Kedoshim, 4 Behar B'chukosai, and only if we get a 5th extra week do we split Matos Masei. So now, I'm going to give you another very, very simple rule. The way it works out is, in every, the middle 3 double sets of these 5, Tazria Metzora, Behar B'chukosai, I skip one? Achrei Mos Kedoshim. Oh, it's there. I'm sorry. My eyes are skipping. Tazria Metzora, Achrei Mos Kedoshim, Behar B'chukosai. It's a simple rule. Leap year, split. No leap year, no split. In other words, a leap year always gets us 4 extra weeks at least. Which means we're going to split Vayakel Pekudei, Tazria Metzora, Achrei Mos Kedoshim, Behar B'chukosai. In a no leap year, the maximum number of extra Shabbos we can get in terms of splitting is 1. You know when that happens? We'll see in a moment, but I'll tell you, we'll read the Shulchan Aruch. When Sukkos, like this year, when Sukkos and Rosh Hashanah come out on a Thursday, then Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah comes out on a Thursday. And the first day after Simchas Torah is already Shabbos. We get to Shabbos really quickly, which is why we get in an extra Shabbos. In such a year, when Sukkos is on a Thursday, and Simchas Torah, therefore, is on a Friday, and Shabbos Bereishis is joined like we have, even in a non-leap year, we get 1 extra week, and Vayakel Pekudei gets split. Now, it happens to be, in an ordinary leap year, even in a leap year, we only get 4 extra Shabboses, so we split Vayakel Pekudei, and everything through Behar B'chukosai, but we don't split Matos Masei, unless we get 1 extra week, a 5th extra week in the leap year. And can you guess what day Rosh Hashanah has to come out in the leap year in order for that to happen?
Thursday again.
If Rosh Hashanah comes out on Thursday, it's the same phenomenon. In other words, if you're getting the cycle started the first day after Simchas Torah, by definition, you're getting in the maximum number of possible Shabbosos for that year. So basically, when Rosh Hashanah, Sukkos, Shemini Atzeres, come out on a Thursday, everything gets started sooner. In which case, in a non-leap year, we get to split Vayakel Pekudei. And in a leap year, we get to split even Matos Masei. But when Rosh Hashanah does not come out on a Thursday, then the rule is Matos Masei is always joined. And then the other four parshios, it just the minvayaka pekudei through Bahar Bechukosai simply depends upon whether it's a leap year or not a leap year. But when Rosh Hashanah comes out on a Thursday, we get an extra Shabbos, so we split Vayaka Pekudei in a non-leap year, and we split Matos Masei in a leap year. And that's how, that's basically what it boils down to. Now, if you turn over the page, I want to read the Shulchan Aruch with you, because the Shulchan Aruch sort of does present how almost all the rules here. La'olam, Roman numeral 3, La'olam korim tzav es aharon, Kodem Pesach Bipshuta. We always read Tzav. I mean, Shabbos HaGadol is always Tzav in a Shana Pshuta. The terms are Pshuta and Meuberes. Simple and literally means pregnant, meaning a fuller year. Leap year, non-leap year, and leap year. In a non-leap year, we always read Tzav before Pesach. Umitzora b'meuberes. We always read Parshas Mitzora in a leap year before Pesach. Okay? Chutz mi beheches meuberes, and the Rama added in veheshin meuberes. So here, I'm going to give you just 2 minutes on the calendar shear for another time. What does this mean? So the way you can describe a Hebrew year to give a person every piece of information he needs to lay out the Yamim Tovim, starting with Rosh Hashanah, is you need three pieces of information. You need to know what day of the week Rosh Hashanah is on. You need to know what we are doing with Mar Cheshvan and Kislev, the regular 29-30, 30-30, or 29-29. Those three constellations are called Kisidron, the normal order, that's 29-30. Shlema, when it's 30-30. Chasera, when it's 29-29. So we need to know when Rosh Hashanah is. We need to know whether it's a Kisidron, a Chasera, Shlema, and we need to know whether it's a leap year or not. Given those three pieces of information, I can lay out the entire calendar because nothing else is variable. Remember that Tishrei, Teves, Shvat, the last Adar, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, and Elul are always a fixed number of days, no change whatsoever. All that varies in a year is what we do to Mar Cheshvan Kislev, the 59 days, 60 days, 58 days, and whether or not we add a third day month in for the leap year. So once I give you those two pieces of data and I tell you what day Rosh Hashanah came out on, going forward, I know everything that I need to know. So that's the way we describe a year. So theoretically, if you just did the math, Rosh Hashanah can come out four different days of the week. You can be a leap year or not a leap year. And you can have three different possibilities, Kisidron, Chasera, or Shlema. So somebody's going to say to me, that means you can have four times two times three different possibilities of a year. 24 possibilities. It's not correct. The reason why you can't have that is you could, theoretically, but if Rosh Hashanah comes out on a particular day this year, we have to make sure that the way we select the year, that next year Rosh Hashanah also doesn't come out on one of the wrong days. That's the limiting factor. It turns out there are about, I think, 14 or 15 different possibilities in years. Be'ezras Hashem, one day, when we're not doing regular Avodah Zarah shir, I'll show you in the tour, if you actually look in the tour at the end of the fourth Chelek of Mishneh Berurah, he actually has the full charts laid out. That's for another time. But the bottom line is, just to understand what the Shulchan Aruch said here, he said, you always read Tzav before Pesach in a regular year, a non-leap year, and Mitzora before Pesach in a leap year, except for if it's a Hei Ches Meuberes. Hei means Rosh Hashanah came out on Thursday, and Ches means Chasera. It was 29-29, the 2 months. And the Rama Eir, it's Vehei Shlema Meuberes also. Hei and Shin. It happens to be, if I'm not mistaken, there's no such thing as a Hei Kisidron Meuberes. If you had a Hei Kisidron, I'll tell you why. If you had a Hei Kisidron, and it's a leap year, how many days are in it? 385 is if it's Shlema. That's the longest year you can have. When you have a 385-day year and Rosh Hashanah comes out on Thursday, you know when Rosh Hashanah comes out the next year? Thursday. It's an exact number of weeks. If you made the year, 1 day shorter, you made a Kisidron, when would Rosh Hashanah come out next year? Wednesday, and you're not allowed to have that. That's why you cannot have a leap year, which is Hey Kisidron. That's one. You cross out the possibility. So you can when it's a leap year and it's Rosh Hashanah comes out on Thursday, it's either a Chasera or it's a Shlema. In those 2 years, we get an extra Shabbos in before Pesach, we get an extra Shabbos in before Pesach, and therefore we've already split Vayaka Pekudei anyway. Why? Because it's a leap year. and we still get an extra Shabbos in for Pesach. So instead of Mitzorah being before Pesach, Achrei Mos is before Pesach, and the same thing can happen in a non-leap year with Tzav. If Rosh Hashanah came out on Thursday, then Tzav wouldn't be before Pesach, Shmini would be before Pesach. Okay, then the Shulchan Aruch continues. In that year, Shekorin Achrei Mos Kodem HaPesach. Now, second sentence, on the second line, Ula Olam Korim Parshas Bamidbar Sinai Kodem Atzeres. We always read Bamidbar before Shavuos, except he doesn't say, it's not true. Remember when Tzav gets pulled a week earlier? Same thing happens to Bamidbar. In the years that you read either Shemini or Achrei Mos before Pesach, you read not Bamidbar before Shavuos, but Naso before Shavuos. It's pulled 1 week earlier, it's just the way it is. Here's a rule that we don't violate, even though it doesn't come from the Gemara. Tisha B'Av, Kodem Veschanan. We always read Tisha B'Av, we always have Tisha B'Av, the week before Veschanan, or I like to say, the week after Dvarim. So we have Echa, Echa, Echa. We have the Pasuk of Echa that we read in the Echa Trap in Parshas Dvarim, and then we have the Echa in the Haftorah of Yeshayahu, Echa Yisalazona, and then and then that week we read Echa Yashval Vadad, we read Megillas Echa. And then, Atem Nitzavim Kodem Rosh Hashanah, we always read Nitzavim, joint or not joint, Vayelach, it depends, but Nitzavim is always the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, as it will be in 2 weeks. V'lochein, kishe Rosh Hashanah b'yom bag, on Monday, Tuesday, sheyeshtei Shabbosos bein Rosh Hashanah l'sukkos, tzrichem l'chalek Nitzavim Vayelach, kidei sheyikru Vayelach bein Rosh Hashanah l'tzom kippur, so you can read Vayelach and Shabbos Shuvah v'ha'azinu bein tzom kippur l'sukkos. V'simen, bag ha'melech, pas Vayelach. If Rosh Hashanah, which is ha'melech, came out on Monday or Tuesday, pas Vayelach, Vayelach crumbles. Aval kishir Rosh Hashanah biyom. It must be a typo here. Mine says hey vav. It should be hey zayin. Oz ein bein Rosh Hashanah l'sukkos el Shabbos achas shekorin v'hazinu. Oz vayelach em nitzavim kodem Rosh Hashanah. And now he just gives you a simon. The simon lipshuta. The simon of a non-leap year is pikdu upischu. You have to know Aramaic here. The word for tzav in Aramaic is pakad. So pikdu means command. Read tzav upischu mek pesach. Ulum uberes sigru upischu. You also have to know Aramaic here as well. The word for tzara'as, a nega tzara'as, is a machtash sigiru. A mitzora is closed away. He's muskar. So sigru, you read mitzora, upischu. Then you make Pesach. Then, manu v'itzru. Count and make atzeres. What's the parsha of counting? Bamidbar. Tzumu utzlu. Fast and then pray. This refers to the fasting of Tisha B'Av. And what is prayer? How does Veschanan open? What does the word Veschanan mean? Veschanan lefnei Hashem, I prayed before God. And finally, Kumu v'tiku, arise and blow the shofar. Here, then in the first Shem explained, but you have to know Aramaic again, the word for Nitzav, Atem Nitzavim, is Aten Atun Kayamin, Kayam, to be standing. Kumu v'tiku, read Nitzavim. And then you blow the shofar. So that's the rule of how the parshios fall out across the year, and that is why. So in terms of the double parshios, in summary, Nitzavim Vayelech depends only upon the way Rosh Hashanah falls out, Monday, Tuesday versus Thursday, Shabbos. Whether you have one or two Shabbosos between after Rosh Hashanah before Sukkot that you need a parsha for. Chukas Balak is read only in Chutz La'aretz, join when we lose a Shabbos to Shavuos and we have to catch up to get Dvarim before Tisha B'Av and to catch up to Eretz Yisrael. The other five parshios depend upon the leap year, but the rule is as follows. Normally, in a leap year, they're all split except for Matos Maaseh. Mm-hmm. In a non-leap year, they're all joined. The only exceptions to this rule is when Rosh Hashanah comes out on a Thursday, so then in a leap year, they're all split, including Matos Maaseh. And even in a non-leap year, they're all joined except for Vayakel Pekudei gets split. Okay, so that is actually how our parshas are laid out following the calendar. The last thing that I'll observe, even though we have a practice, the Minhag Yisrael has been for a very long time to complete the Kriyas HaTorah in the course of a year, there actually is no requirement, mitzad, the Mishnah, for example, to do such a thing. There are rules. You have to read Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos. You have to read at least 21 psukim because you have to have Shiva Korim. Each person has to read at least 3 psukim. But the Mishnah beyond that does not stipulate that you have to finish the Torah, that you have to read a particular portion, except for on certain special Shabbosos. We'll look very quickly. First Mishnah Dalet. On the Roman numeral 4. Rosh Chodesh Adar Shecholios B'Shabbos. Korim B'Parsha Shkolim. If Rosh Chodesh Adar, Sheni, or if there's only one Adar, Rosh Chodesh Adar, comes out on Shabbos, you read Parsha Shkalim then. Cholios Betocha Shabbos, let's say Rosh Chodesh did not come out on Shabbos, it came out during the week, Makdim in L'Sha'avar, you read the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, Umafsik in L'Shabbos Acheres, and then you're going to have a week pause. Just to point out, when we have the Arba Parshios, we don't read them in 4 consecutive weeks. There's always at least one Shabbos break, and sometimes a 2 Shabbos break. I'm just going to go out on a limb here. There might be people in the category who could have been students of Rabbi Dulitz. Is there anybody who was a student of Rabbi Dulitz other than myself? No. Okay. There's a mnemonic I still have burned in my head, which is actually from the Shulchan Aruch that he drilled into us in 10th grade, of knowing which Shabbos is the Shabbos or Shabbosos that don't have a special parsha read on them. It all depends when Rosh Chodesh either comes out. Now, that tells you how the Shabbosos fall out. It's called Zatu Bo Dat and Ubayu. So you go to any of Rabbi Dulitz's Talmidim, and you tell them that, they'll remember it, and they might have nightmares and flashbacks. But anyway, I'm not going to go through that now, but the Mishnah here is telling you that if you started, it turns out, if Rosh Chodesh came out on Shabbos, you read Shkalim on Rosh Chodesh, the next week is already Zachar. It's the week after Purim that we take a break. We don't read Parah, and then the next 2 weeks, we end up reading Parah, and then HaChodesh. Anyway, the Mishnah is giving you the rules. Then, B'shniya, the second week we read Zachar, really is always the Shabbos before Purim. B'shlishis para aduma, the rule for para for us is para is always read before HaChodesh, the week before HaChodesh. Okay, and finally, Baravis HaChodesh HaZalachem, we always read Parshas HaChodesh either on Rosh Chodesh Nisan or the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And B'chamishis Chozrin LeKisidron, you follow the regular Seder for the rest of them. Lakom Afsikin, for everything, we're mafsik the regular Kriyas HaTorah, b'Rashi Chadashim, b'Chanukah, u'v'Purim, b'Tanios, v'Mamados, v'Yom HaKippur. I'm not going to explain what Mamados are for the moment. Everything else you recognize. Then the coming Mishnayos tell us what we're supposed to read on the various Chagim. And I'll just close by making an observation Tosos makes already. This is one of the few areas where we don't always follow the din of the Gemara. Some of you have probably heard me say, I've written about this, it's not my point, the Talmud Bavli is considered the final binding authority, generally speaking. And therefore, when the Gemara says it's the din, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, it doesn't matter what your logic is, it's incorrect. There are now, the truth be told, it really depends on what the minog of observing Klal Yisrael is. That's really how we paskin. It happens to be by Kriyas HaTorah. There are a number of things that the Gemara has, the Mishnah has, the Gemara has, that we don't actually follow. We do slightly differently. We read the Haftorah. What do we read on Simchas Torah? The Gemara gives, I forget what the Gemara says you're supposed to read on Simchas Torah, but it's something related to Sukkos. On Simchas Torah, we read the first chapter of Sefer Yoshua. It's like we're continuing learning. That's what we do. And there are a few things that we don't actually follow the din of the Gemara. We read slightly different things. For the most part, we do, but the Mishnayos here lay out a certain set of things, not all of which we actually do. One example, and I'll close with that, if you look at Mishnah Vav, the last source, the Mishnah says, B'Chanukah B'Nisim, that is true, we read the Nisim on Chanukah from Parshas Naso, B'Purim V'Yavo Amalek, we do read that, B'Rashei Chadashim, we read U'V'Rashei Chadshechem, B'Mamados, we don't have Mamados, leave that out, B'Masa B'Rashis, B'Tanios, Brachos uklalos. On fast days, we read the brachos and klalos. We do not read the brachos and klalos on fast days. We read Vayichal Moshe, and on Tisha B'Av in the morning, we read the Kiso Lidbonim. But at the time of the Gemara, it sounds like they read from the klalos, either in Taras Kohanim or Mishnah Torah, and that's why the Mishnah says, V'imasikim b'klalos. So in that particular practice, we don't follow most of the things. We follow the Mishnah in one form or another, but in some cases, our minhag happens to be different. But the bottom line is what we presented this morning, is that the laning calendar is basically determined by the need to finish the Torah in a year and read V'zos HaBracha and Simchas Torah. We must read the klalos of Kisavo sometime before Rosh Hashanah and Ebuchadnezzar, close to, but before Shavuos. And the way we actually have it, if said in our calendar, is Nitzavim must be before Rosh Hashanah. And we always read Vaschanan after Tisha B'Av, Adran before Tisha B'Av, and we read B'chukosai a week and 2 weeks before, or rarely 3 weeks before Shavuos, and we always read Tzav / Mitzorah the week before Pesach, or occasionally 2 weeks before Pesach in a non-leap year and leap year, respectively. Are there any questions?
It seems that Rosh Hashanah, the least frequent Rosh Hashanah is Tuesday or Wednesday. We're in the middle of a 12-year cycle without having it there.
Well, I think we're just getting a bunch now. Monday or Tuesday. Oh.
Also, this is the third time in the last 4 years that Pesach has been on Saturday, Sunday, and it's going to also be Saturday, Sunday the year after. So it's four to five years.
Right.
So that means Rosh Hashanah has been on Thursday, Friday for 4 to 5 years.
No, it's been on Monday, Tuesday most of the years.
Oh, I meant Monday.
Torturing us. Thursday, Friday's halibuts are Monday, Tuesday, and actually Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
The whole cycle is 19 years. Yeah,
so I'm only going to tell you one thing on the sheet, but I can't do the calendar. I did list, as I was copying from, I copied this little piece I had done previously for my calendar sheet. I copied out the mnemonic of the leap years. The leap years in the 19-year cycle, it's actually a metonic cycle. The Greeks knew of this. Adding 7 extra months into 19 years gets the solar and lunar years within a very, very close, slightly off, but very, very close. And the years that we add in are Guah Hadzat, 3, 6, 8, 11, 14, 17, 19. So, Mirat Hashem, next time that we have a couple of weeks that we think people are going to wear and we do a special show, maybe I will sort of start to introduce the calendar. It's a little complicated, but it's a lot of fun. And, I always tell the story, I don't need to record.